Okay, so welcome everyone for this regular Saturday evening program. Thank you for coming, this wonderful weather. I know a couple of families are new here today. This Mataji came from Farmington area. You came to Troy Janmashtami program, right? And then there's one more family came second time. You came for Diwali program?
Yeah.
And the Prabhu is new. He is coming here first time to our program. So, welcome. Okay, so we'll start with invocation prayers. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurahatshe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So we have some copies of Bhagavad Gita. Can somebody ask copies of Bhagavad Gita? Somebody needs. And so we have been discussing second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is contents of Gita summarized. Or it's also known as Sankhya Yoga. So anybody remembers till what verse we discussed last time? So last time we discussed up to text 29 or text 30, which is just finishing the topic of Krishna speaking on the topic of soul. What is our real identity? So in the beginning, just as a brief summary of what we have discussed so far. So this Bhagavad Gita is spoken at what time, at what place, in what circumstance? Just before the war is going to start. And at place of fight, place of war, a war field, Kurukshetra. Just before it's going to start. To whom? To Arjuna. And who is Arjuna? Is he a renounced person? He is a Kshatriya, right? He has administrative duties. He has a lot of responsibilities, as family responsibilities, responsibility of administration. So sometimes people have this misnomer. Bhagavad Gita is meant for retired people, or spirituality means a retirement program. Right now I'm too busy with my work, family, all these things. Spirituality means when we are free, when we are done with our all these duties, then we'll think of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is not a retirement program. Spirituality is not a retirement program. Because Arjuna, so just looking at the condition, when it was spoken, not when Arjuna was retired, or actually he wanted to give up everything. he wanted to renounce everything, go to forest, live on begging. And Krishna says, no, I don't approve that. You should do your duty as a Kshatriya. But do by knowing the real knowledge. So Bhagavad Gita is meant for somebody who wants to live a meaningful, purposeful, a dynamic life. Not once we retire, then we'll think of Bhagavad Gita. A lot of people keep Bhagavad Gita at home, wrapped nicely in some red cloth, somewhere in the corner in a cabinet. And when somebody is on a deathbed, about to die, they think, oh, bring Bhagavad Gita, keep it close to the head, as if the whole knowledge will transfer now. And what he will do at that point of time with this knowledge. So this knowledge is meant for living a purposeful, dynamic life. So it has to be learned at a very early age. So we can utilize in our life, we can live the life accordingly. So Arjuna, he did not want to fight on certain reasons. And what was the reason he proposed? Why I don't want to fight? Why I don't want to participate in this war? First was compassion. Compassion for the relatives and the elderly people in the family. That if I fight, I have to kill them. Second thing was, if I kill all my relatives, my elderly people who are worshipable, I will incur sin. So it will lead to sinful reaction. Third reason was, we will lose the happiness. There will be lack of happiness after killing all these relatives, even if we acquire the whole kingdom. Fourth reason was, after killing all these people, it will lead to Varnasankara. When all the men are killed, all these women will become polluted. It will give rise to unwanted population, unwanted progeny, which will destroy the whole social order. And then the fifth reason Arjuna gave was indecision. I am completely bewildered. I don't know what to do. So then finally he surrendered to Krishna. He surrendered to Lord Krishna, who he was treating earlier as a friend. So now rather than accepting or behaving with him as a friend, he accepts him as his dear teacher, spiritual master. He says, I surrender unto you, please accept me as your teacher, please instruct me. So when Krishna took the position of a guru, then he started giving the real knowledge. And what was the first knowledge Krishna gave? Who we are. What is our real identity? We are not this body, we are the spirit soul. So Arjuna's first reason to not fight was compassion, that I have to kill all these people. So Krishna first counters his first argument. So Krishna gives many reasons just to counter this first argument. So first argument is given by Krishna is, we are not the body, we are the soul, spiritual beings. And for the soul, there is no death. Soul is eternal. So when the body is destroyed or when the body dies, it's not the death for the soul. So Kaumaram Yovanam Jara Tatha Dehantra Praptir Dhiras Tatrana Muhyate. So as the soul passes within this body from boyhood to youth to old age, similarly it passes into another body at the time of death. So first argument is, we are not the body, we are the soul. Second argument Krishna gives, he takes a U-turn. He says, even if you think we are all just the body, nothing more than that, and this life is all in all, even then there is no point for lamentation, because if we are just this body and you think this is, as science also proclaims, okay, this is made up of chemical composition. So who cries for a loss of few bunch of chemical, right? So even if we are just this body and it's just this lifetime, still there is no cause of lamentation. And third argument Krishna gives about this point is, even if you think you don't want to kill, you don't want to participate in this war, you don't want to kill your relatives, still this body doesn't live eternally. Whoever has taken birth, there is death for certain. So even if you don't kill, still they are going to die, one way or another. So better you perform your duty as a Kshatriya, fight for righteous principles. And the fourth reason, fourth argument Krishna gives to counter this particular argument of Arjuna: everything in the beginning is unmanifested, then it becomes manifested, and again it becomes unmanifested. So everything is made up of some basic material elements. It becomes manifested at a particular time of point of time, then it again becomes unmanifested. Like this laptop, this building, anything is unmanifested. This is not in the exact form earlier. So then it manifests in this particular form, and then it again becomes unmanifested. The same way, we have taken these bodies, we have become manifested in this particular form, which did not exist earlier. We existed in a different form earlier. And then the soul will take up another form later, and it will exist in a different form. So everything was unmanifested earlier, becomes manifested, it will again become unmanifested later. So this is the four arguments or the four reasons Krishna gives just to counter first reason of Arjuna, compassion for the living entities. So till that point we discuss, and then Krishna describes the amazing verse, right? We discussed this last time. Let's, the people who are describing the living soul, people who are hearing, everybody is amazing. And this soul itself is amazing. So after describing that, now Krishna moves on to the next point to counter Arjuna's second reason of fighting, which was he will incur sinful reaction and loss of happiness. So we'll recite from text, we will try to cover text 31 through text 40 today. स्वधर्मम् अपि च अवेक्ष्य न विकर्मितुम् अर्हसि धर्मयाधि युद्धश्चय अन्यात् क्षत्रियस्न विद्यते. Considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. So now, recite, okay. स्वधर्माम् अपि च अवेक्ष्य न विकर्मितुम् अर्हसि धर्मयाधि युद्धश्रयो अन्यात् क्षत्रियस्य न विद्यते. कृष्णा इज़ सेइंग, कंसीडरिंग योर ड्यूटी एज अ क्षत्रिय, you should know there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principle. And so there is no need for hesitation. So now Krishna, from this verse onwards, is starting countering Arjuna's next reason for not fighting. So everybody has their specific duties. There are, so it's two type of duties everybody has. So in the beginning we said the whole chapter of whole second chapter, if we look at from the higher hierarchy, from higher view, the first part of second chapter is Arjuna's further reason to not fight. So we can do the acronym Gita for second chapter. G stands for Guru. So Arjuna finally accepts Krishna as Guru. That's the first part of second chapter, first few verses. Then I stands for identity. Krishna, when he starts speaking, he describes the identity. We are not the body, we are the spirit soul. Then the next part, which is starting from text 31 to, it will go up to text 57 onwards. So T stands for two duties. And the two duties are Swadharma and Sanatan Dharma. So everybody has their prescribed duty as per the bodily designation. Swadharma, also known as Varnashram Dharma. So based on our varna and ashram, everybody has their prescribed duty. And then we have our eternal duty as Sanatan Dharma, being the living entity, the spirit soul, as a servitorship attitude towards the Supreme Lord. That is our connection with the Supreme Lord. So in that relationship, we have our eternal duty to serve the Supreme Lord. So that is Sanatan Dharma. So these two duties, now Krishna is describing from Swadharma point of view here. So he is saying everybody has their Swadharma. So you should do your prescribed duty What is Arjuna's prescribed duty? As a Kshatriya to fight. So not fight whimsically. Not pick up a fight with your neighbor or somebody and just kill somebody. So not whimsically, on religious principles. So what Prabhupada described, the very important word here in the translation. So there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. So that is Kshatriya's duty. So whenever there is a call for war, Kshatriya should not back off. Right? Its duty is to come forward and protect the citizen. Meaning of Kshatriya itself is Kshat Trayate Iti Kshatriya. So who protects the citizen from danger, from harm. So that is Kshatriya. And Arjuna has a lot of responsibility as a Kshatriya. This whole war is happening. So the fate of practically the whole world depends on this war. All the different kings from different part of world has participated in this war, either on Pandava side or on the Kaurava side. So the whole world's fate depends on this. Who will rule the world in a righteous way or unrighteous way? If Kauravas win, if Duryodhana win, he is going to be the next ruler. And who? What is Duryodhana's mentality? He is completely adharmi. He always thinks of himself only. He has no other concerns. And if Pandavas win, they will rule the whole world with righteous principle, taking care of the citizen. So this war is taking place. Now, everybody has their duty as a Kshatriya, as a Brahmana. So this is where the Varnashram system comes into picture. These days, Varnashrama is very misunderstood principle. If people think this Varnashrama, it's forced by somebody. It's a caste system. If people, based on birth, they accept themselves either as a Brahmana or a Kshatriya. But Krishna says in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it will come later on, so this Varnashram system is created by me. So this Varnashram system, which is the division of the whole society, either based on Varna and Ashrama. So this is the natural division of society created by Krishna. Now when this is Krishna's creation, there cannot be any fault in that. What is this Varna and Ashrama? What is the division of society based on Varna and Ashram? Anybody knows what is the four Varna? So the four Varna is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And the four Ashram? Right. So based on in which particular stage of life one is, which is Brahmacharya as a celibate, as a student, living as a student life, then he takes up either he marries, accepts a grihastha ashram, and then vanaprastha, retirement phase of life, when one has done with the family responsibilities, occupational duties, and then finally sannyas, renouncing everything completely and surrendering to the Lord. And throughout, the varnashrama system is designed for a gradual elevation towards spiritual life. It's not that student life, grihastha ashram has a 100% freedom to do whatever you like. One is still supposed to lead a responsible life while following the rules and regulations, the principles. And every phase of life is meant to progress towards spiritual life. Make our relationship stronger with the Supreme Lord. And meaning of ashram itself is ashrite ite ashram. And while staying in a particular ashram, one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. So while staying in Brahmacharya ashram, as a student, one is doing his studies and he is still maintaining the connection or enlivening the connection with the Lord. Grihastha ashram is not a complete freedom to just enjoy, engage in all those household affairs and all. While staying at home, with family, with children, doing your occupational duties, still progressing towards the Supreme Lord. So this whole Varna ashram system is designed like that. And every Varna has their responsibility. Now this Varna ashram is not just okay, it's for meant for Indian people. Oh, in India there is a caste system or this Varna ashram system. This Varnashrama is applicable throughout the world. So this division of society, again, it's not based on birth. It's based on Guna Karma Vibhagashah. So Krishna says, I created this Varnashrama system based on Guna and Karma, not based on Janma. So Guna is based on the nature one has acquired. And Karma is based on the activities one performs. So based on our nature, we engage in certain activity. So Arjuna, by nature, he is a Kshatriya. He has a fighting spirit. And some people, by nature, they have a Brahmanical qualification. They are sober, scholarly, like as a learning, teaching and studying. So these responsibility, one need to perform their occupational duties based on their nature. Now it's very hard to figure out what is my real nature, what kind of occupation I should really get into. Sometimes occupation is imposed upon us, right? Parents say, okay, we want to make you engineer, we want to make you doctor. Nobody says we want to make you a priest. Right? Nobody says we want to make you a farmer. Somebody may have a Shudra mentality, Shudra nature, but he want to get into administration. All our politicians, no offense, most of them belong to Shudra category, but they are in administrative class. That's why there is a whole problem in the society. Whole this social order is disrupted. And then Kshatriya, so in purport, Srila Prabhupada defined as a Kshatriya, when the opportunity for fighting come, the Kshatriya while fighting, while doing his responsibility, his duty, he can elevate. Even if he dies in the war, he can achieve heavenly planet. So while performing one's duty, they can get the ultimate result. And same way when Brahmana, when they are doing the fire sacrifice, when they are performing their duties, while engaging in that, they'll attain the same result. So Kshatriya can also attain the same result while doing their duties. And one should not give up their occupational duties just because of some trouble in executing that duty. Sometimes it happens, there is some discomfort in executing one's duty, and one thinks, oh, better I give up and I try to do somebody else's job. So Krishna, that's what Krishna says in 18th chapter also. Krishna says, it's better to do your duty even if with faults, rather than somebody else's duty even if you try to do perfectly. So for a small period of time, for temporary being, one may be able to do somebody else's work without fault, perfectly. But Krishna says, it's better to continue with your duty. Arjuna's proposal was, what was Arjuna's proposal in beginning? I don't want to fight, I will renounce everything, go to forest, live on begging. So I will take the sannyasa order of life. I will perform the duties of a sannyasi. So Krishna is saying, rather than becoming a sannyasi, giving up your duty, better you engage in your duty. You may be able to perform you may be able to live like a sannyasi for a period, time period, small duration, perfectly. But your nature is Kshatriya. And you will show up your nature later. So somebody may chastise you or blaspheme you. See, sometimes it's happened. Some beggar come at home and you say, "Hatta katta hai, jaake kaam karo." Why you are begging? So if somebody comments like this to you, what will happen? You will get angry, take up your weapon and kill him. So rather than killing that innocent person that time, better you engage in your duty now. Fight on religious principle, participate in this war. Sometimes a husband thinks, wife is enjoying at home, no work at all. So better I stay at home, let her go to work and do some job. And wife thinks husband is enjoying at work, no work at all in office. He relaxes and then comes back. I'm working all day at home. So wife thinks I will do the work, let him take care of home and let him take care of the kids. But when you do somebody else's duty, then you realize there are some other problems. So wife should not think because of some discomfort that, oh, I will not do my duty. And husband, because of some discomfort, he should not think, oh, I will not do my duty. Actually, in scriptures, it says in Kali Yuga, the situation will be, people will like to take to the grihastha life, because their senses are not controlled, they want to live in the grihastha, enjoy, but they will be so much troubled in grihastha life that they will run away and go to forest, live as a mendicant. They will be ready to give up their family life. Oh, it's so troublesome. They will be ready to take the austerities of living as a mendicant, living on roots and fruits, because there will be so much trouble in the householder life. Because in Kali Yuga, our nature, the qualities of Kali Yuga is like that. Everybody is so short-tempered. Isn't it? So, ready to fight. Everybody wants to be the center. And when that demand is not fulfilled, there is fight. Mataji is acknowledging. So there is so much trouble in family life sometimes. People think, oh, I give up family life. And they are ready to live an austere life. But Krishna is proposing one should do their duties. If you have accepted the householder life, do your duty. And same way for Brahmanas, what is the duty for the Brahmanas? To perform yajna, yajan, jajan, patan, patan. So they teach and accept charity. They do the yajna and accept charity. And that is the duty of a Brahmana. Now in the purport, there are certain points. And sometimes people say, Kshatriyas, they used to kill animals. Or they used to hunt. So killing animals is acceptable in that way. So is animal killing accepted? Is hunting accepted? Can we kill animals? So here there is a culture. Actually, all these three, big three, the automotive industry, GM, Chrysler, Ford, they have one official day as a hunting day. So next Friday is a holiday. And that holiday is, it's an official hunting day. So people think hunting, killing animals is reasonable, it's okay. And sometimes people trace back, they say, oh, Kshatriyas, the kings, they used to do hunting. So they used to hunt, so it's acceptable, killing animal is okay. But what is the reason why Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt? It's not that they are hunting for satisfying their tongue and belly. So the duty of Kshatriya is to participate in war when the need arises. Not whimsically, so whenever there is a need. If some enemy attacks, their duty is to protect the citizen. So in that, for that, they have to be trained to participate in war. They have to see the blood, the gore, the violence. So they are trained in that way from early time. So rather than killing human beings, they are trained while fighting with the animal. And not the sober animal like cow or something. They will not hunt those animals. They will go challenge the fierce animals like the tiger or the wild boar. So they will go and challenge and fight bare hand or with the sword. So that is the process to train them so that when the need comes, they are trained to take care of the need of violence, or they have to see the bloodshed and the gore and all that. So that was the reason. Even 100, 200 years back, there are kings in Rajasthan area or something, Jaipur state. So they still used to practice this activity. They will go and fight with tiger, fight with lion. And then they will kill and bring the skin back as a decoration, as a kind of a trophy. So for that reason, hunting was allowed for them. But now there is no such need as training for that purpose. And earlier, actually, the king themselves will participate in war. Does that happen anymore now? Does the king or the president of company go up front to fight? And even the soldiers, are they fighting as a one-on-one combat? They are hiding behind something and shooting bullets. And even when they go for hunting, it's not as a challenging the animal and fighting face-to-face with the animal. They are sitting behind some bulletproof glass in a jeep and then shooting the animal. So it's not a kshatriya activity actually. It's a cowardly activity. So that's why hunting is not allowed in Kali Yuga. Killing animal is not allowed. And same way, They say Brahmanas, earlier in Yajnas, animal sacrifice was done. So it's okay to kill animals and to eat animals. So again, when the earlier time, especially in Treta Yuga actually, the big elaborate fire sacrifices were done, and sometimes they will sacrifice the animal in that fire. Again, the purpose is not to kill the animal and eat the flesh of the animal, to satisfy the tongue and belly. The purpose is, that time the Brahmanas, they had the power. They had the power to elevate the animal right away in that from life form to a higher life form. So they will put some elderly animal, old animal into the fire, and immediately that animal will achieve a humanly form. Or they will get a fresh form. Even if the same animal form, they will get a fresh youthful body. So Brahmanas had that power. But now in Kali Yuga, Brahmanas has no power at all. Even there is no proper pronunciation of the mantras. So this activity of animal sacrifice is completely restricted in Kali Yuga. So that's why earlier when Lord Buddha came, his preaching was Ahimsa Parma Dharma. So non-violence. He preached the principle of non-violence. Because people were misusing this teachings of Vedas, Karam Kandas, animal sacrifice, on the name of satisfying their tongue. You know, animal sacrifice is mentioned in the Vedas, so we are doing that. So Lord Buddha has to completely reject the Vedas. That okay, forget about Vedas. Just follow the dharma of ahimsa, non-violence. So here Krishna is stressing, do your duty, fight on the principle of religion. While doing that, what will be the result? So Krishna described the result. He says, if you do your duty, what will be the good result? And if you don't do your duty, what will be the bad result? So he is telling both ways. O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of heavenly planet. So here Krishna is again encouraging Arjuna to fight, giving him the result that when Kshatriyas fight, even if they are killed while participating in the war, for them the doors of heaven are open. So here Krishna is speaking from Karam Kanda point of view. So Krishna has not even spoken Vikarma. So there is a gradual progression. In current society, actually most of people are following Vikarma. What is Vikarma? Sense enjoyment without following any rules and regulation. So which becomes Adharma. It brings sinful reaction. And then above Vikarma is Sukarma or Karmakanda. Karmakanda is following the rules and regulations of the scriptures to attain sense enjoyment. So the purpose is still sense enjoyment. I want to enjoy. I want to get this benefit or that benefit. But I will follow the rules and regulations. So one is, so this is called materialistic religiosity. So one is being a religious person for materialistic purpose, for some material gain. So that is called Karma Kanda or Sukarma. So you do good activity, get good result. So from Vikarma, come to the level of Sukarma. You want to do material enjoyment, sense enjoyment, no problem. Follow these rules. Then higher than that is Nishkama Karma. Do your duty without the desire of result. So here, Krishna is first bringing Arjuna to Karma Kanda level. Okay, do your duty with the desire of result. You fight. If you even get killed in the war, you get elevated to heavenly planet. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the door of heavenly planets. So earlier actually that is the Kshatriya spirit. Kshatriyas, in real sense, who has a real Kshatriya blood, they don't go back when there is a fighting opportunity. There is a saying, Sar jhuka sakte nahi, sar kata sakte hain hum. Right? Sar kata sakte hain, par sar jhuka sakte nahi. We will not bow down our head. We will prefer to be killed. We will not bow in front of the enemy. Earlier, actually, in the Kshatriya families, even the women had that spirit. The Kshatriya women. Once one king, he went on a fight. And the queen, when opened the door, this king was standing there. And the queen saw there is some mark on the back, as some wound on the back of the king. And this queen did not open the door. So the queen said, you have got the wound on your back. It means you have showed your back to the enemy. You have run away from the fight. That's why you got hurt on the back. I will prefer you get killed in the war rather than showing the back and come back alive. So she did not open the door. And the king got the inspiration from her wife. He went back and fought. And actually he became victorious. So even the women, Kshatriya women, had that spirit. They have that Kshatriya blood. So for the Kshatriyas, the fighting opportunities, they are looking forward to that. Because it gives them elevation to the heavenly planets while performing their duty. And on the contrary, what happens? Krishna says, if however, so the next text 33, if however you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sin for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. So Krishna earlier said, what will be the outcome if you participate in war? Arjuna was considering, his viewpoint was completely opposite. Arjuna was thinking, if I fight, then I will incur sinful reaction. And if I don't fight, I will escape from that. But Krishna is saying it's other way. If you fight, if you get killed, you will be victorious still. You will get to attain to heavenly planet. But if you don't fight, then you will incur sin for not doing your duty. So, Krishna is telling, let's do the next verse also. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. So, Krishna is still showing him the effect if he does not fight. So, if you don't fight, what will happen? You will lose your reputation as a great fighter. And people will call you as a coward. You will lose all your reputation. And for a person who has great respect, for him, dishonor is worse than death. So Krishna is encouraging Arjuna again and again to fight, showing him both sides. Arjuna has a great reputation as a fighter. He had got many military certificates from his teacher, Dronacharya. He was the best teacher or best student of Dronacharya. So he got a best student award. Right? He got a best student award that he is the greatest archer. So he has many other military certificates even from many different personalities. He even got the opportunity to fight with Lord Shiva. And he, to some extent, he was able to curb Lord Shiva. Ultimately, Lord Shiva finally defeated him, but he was able to put up a fight with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva finally gave him his Pashupatastra. And Arjuna has the credibility to go to heaven in the same body to gain the spiritual or gain the heavenly weapon. So Arjuna had many qualifications, like many certificates as a warrior, and people had great respect for him. But now Krishna is saying, if you don't fight, if you don't participate in war, you will lose all your reputation. You are thinking, I'm a compassionate person. I don't want to kill others. But people will not think like that, that, oh, he was such a compassionate person. That's why he did not fight. People will think, oh, he got scared. He ran away. Before even fighting, he ran away from the war. The great journals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only. And thus, they will consider you insignificant. So this whole connection going on for this last three verses. Krishna is just pointing towards the same theme here. You will lose all your reputation. People will call you ill names. बोलते हैं डर गया डरपोक कहीं का भाग गया भाग गया. सो कृष्ण इज टेलिंग यू आर अ क्षत्रिय फॉर यू इनफेमी विल बी वर्स देन डेथ. बट नाउ देयर इज अनदर इंसिडेंट. एट सम ओकेजन कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ लेफ्ट द बैटलफील्ड. अर्जुन में से राइट व्हाट अबाउट यू यू ऑल्सो हैड लेफ्ट द बैटलफील्ड. नाउ व्हाई यू आर टेलिंग मी टू फाइट. When you are fighting with Jarasandha or Kaliyavana, you left the battlefield. So are you not afraid of being called bad names? So actually, this Varnashram system does not apply to Krishna. Krishna is beyond this Varnashram. He is not as a Kshatriya, he is not as a Vaishya or a Shudra or a Brahmana. He is beyond that. This, but for Arjuna, this Varnashram system applies. He is a Kshatriya. He has a Kshatriya duty. So the particular instance is, Jarasandha was attacking Mathura for multiple times to revenge for Kansa's death. Kansa was Jarasandha's son-in-law. So Jarasandha was attacking. He attacked 17 times. Krishna defeated him. Krishna and Balram alone defeated the whole army. They will kill the whole army, let Jarasandha go alive. Krishna said, my purpose of appearance is Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there is a decline in religious principle, increase in asuras, I come to remove the burden. So our purpose is to kill all these asuras. Let him go and bring more asuras here. Sitting at one place will kill all those. So Krishna will always let Jarasandha go. Jarasandha will bring another army after 1 year. So like that 17 years, every year he will attack after bringing putting together a new army. So 18th time, Jarasandha again attacked. And he made a lie with Kaliyavana also. And at that time, Jarasandha came with the blessings of Brahmanas. On the tip of the sword, he made Brahmanas give him blessings. That you give me blessing that I become victorious this time. And if I get defeated this time again, I will kill all of you. So Krishna, he is seated in everybody's heart. He knows what's happening. So when this time Jarasandha attacked, Krishna had another plan. Before the attack, one night before, Krishna created a whole new city, Dwarka, and transferred all the people in their sleep. So first of all, if somebody gives this example, oh, Krishna also left the battlefield, so we can also do. Can you do that? Create a new city, transfer all the citizens to a new place, to be safe. So Krishna transferred everybody to a new place. And next morning when everybody woke up, everybody is thinking, where are we? Where are we? Dwarkaha, Dwarkaha. That's how the name Dwarka came. Dwarkaha, Dwarkaha. Because everybody is in a new place, they don't know where we are. They're searching for how to get out of this place or this house. So after transferring everybody, now Krishna is in the war field, and when Kaliyavana is attacking Krishna, Krishna started running and Kaliyavana is chasing Krishna. Krishna is actually just walking slowly, and for Kaliyavana, even if he is running, Krishna is far. Krishna cannot be caught by this warrior. And this is a whole story how Krishna get this Kaliyavana killed. So Krishna left the battlefield at that time, because he had another intention in the mind to protect those Brahmanas. What is the prayer we say? Go Brahmanaya Hitaya Cha. Krishna is the protector of the Brahmanas and the cows. So for that purpose, Krishna left the battlefield and he is known as Ranchodrai. Right? The one who left the battlefield, Ranchodrai. So he is worshipped. So Krishna is telling Arjuna indirectly, if you leave the battlefield, you will be called bad names. I left the battlefield, later people will build my temple and worship me. Call me Ranchodrai. So this is in South Dwarka, actually, this place. So like we greet each other, right? We say Hare Krishna, Hari Bol. Or people say Jai Shri Nath Ji in Gujarat. So in the South Gujarat, the way they greet each other, so when they meet each other, one person will say, Mandar ma kaun che? The other person will say, Mandar mein ranachod rai che. This is how they greet each other. So Krishna, even if he leaves the battlefield, he is glorified, he is worshipped. But for Arjuna, it does not apply. And for us, it does not apply. If we leave our duty, we will be called with bad names. Krishna is saying, people will call you ill names. They will call you as a coward, not that you ran or left the battlefield out of compassion. But they will say you left the battlefield out of fear. So, O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. So, again giving the conclusion, both sides of the war, if you participate, what will happen? Either you will win the war. So, if you win the war, you will attain earthly kingdom. If you get killed, if you lose the battle, you will attain heavenly kingdom. You will attain to heaven. So, in both ways, it's a win-win scenario. Arjuna was thinking it's a lose-lose scenario. Both ways, I lose. If I win the war, still I lose. Because I will lose all my relatives, everything. Loss of happiness. If I lose the battle, I die. So, I lose. So, both ways, Arjuna is thinking it's a lose-lose situation. But Krishna is telling it's a win-win situation. So don't worry. Do your duty as a Kshatriya. So till here, what Krishna is doing, Krishna is talking from Karam Kanda point of view. You want to enjoy, do your duty, follow the rules and regulation, get the material happiness. At least don't follow Vikarma. Follow Karma Kanda. Do Sukarma. The next higher than that, now Krishna takes Arjuna to a higher principle. Sukhe dukhe samay kritva labha labho jaya jayo tato yudhya yuyasva nainam papam vavapyasi. Sukhe dukhe samay kritva labha labho jaya jayo tato yudhya yuyasva nevam papam avapsyasi. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing, you shall never incur sin. So now Krishna is taking to higher principle, which is Nishkama Karma. Rather than fighting or doing your duty with the desire of result, just do your duty without considering any gain or loss. Any victory or defeat. So rather than focusing on the result of your action, just as a matter of your duty, participate in that. In that way, doing in that way, you will not incur any sinful reaction. So there is a whole concept of action and reaction. We have discussed it earlier. Vikarma, doing bad activity, brings bad reaction. Doing good activity brings good reaction. So, both ways there is reaction. But, the higher than that is akarma. So, one should learn how to perform activity which does not bring reaction. And that is called akarma. So, this is the starting of akarma. Nishkam karma is the starting. It's before yoga. So, here still you are doing your duty. You are interested. You are attached to your work. But, not concerned about the result. But you are still attached with your work, right? Oh, I like to do this. Okay, so you do that. But at least don't worry about the result. So that is Nishkama Karma principle. So there is no yoga has introduced yet. Yoga means Yujjate Iti Yoga, right? So which has connection. Connection of the living entity with the Supreme Lord. That is yoga. So up to this point, Krishna is bringing him to Nishkam Karma. Do your duty as a matter of duty, without considering Sukha or Dukha, Labh or Hani, Jai or Vijay. Without considering anything, just do your duty.
So that Akarma and Nishkam Karma, they are different?
See, Akarma is when it is done in connection with the Supreme Lord, when it becomes yoga. So this Nishkama Karma is a first step towards akarma.
Okay, so akarma
is starting from the level of karma yoga. So the whole hierarchy is vikarma. From vikarma at least come to the level of sakam karma, mm-hmm. karma kanda. Then higher than karma kanda is come to the level of nishkam karma. So in that way, you don't get the bad reaction at least. So from nishkam karma comes the higher level as karma yoga. Higher than karma yoga is jnana yoga. Higher than jnana yoga is dhyana yoga. Higher than dhyana yoga is bhakti yoga, which is direct connection with the Supreme Lord. So once we bring the connection with the Supreme Lord, that is called yoga. Not, so Krishna, people, this is where people have a lot of misconception. That, oh, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoke, do your duty. We have to do our karma. We have to do our karma. So let's just do our work. Krishna is not saying do your karma, do your become a karmi. Krishna is saying become a yogi. Become a karma yogi. Ultimately, the highest knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, ultimate conclusion is become a bhakti yogi. So the 6th chapter, 46th text, which is the whole concept of dhyana yoga. So Krishna is saying, in every situation, become a yogi. So that's what people think. Because for people, yoga means some, when we say yoga, what comes in mind?
Asana.
Some asana, somebody sitting in some postures, doing some dhyana, or some complicated postures. So that's what we think as yoga. Or some mystic person who can walk on fire or water or lift himself one foot in the air. So we think, oh, that is yoga. That is called yogi. So that has nothing to do with yoga actually. This is a small aspect of yoga, which is called asana or pranayam. Controlling our senses, our mind, our breath. The yoga means starting our connection with the Supreme Lord. So karma is not, there is a difference in being a karmi and a karma yogi. Karmi is okay, I'm doing my duty. I'm just doing my activity. But you are still attached with the result. Karma yoga is when you give up the result of your activity also to Supreme Lord.
So you are doing that for both, nishkam karma and akarma, right? So
akarma is karma yoga.
Nishkam karma and karma yoga, there is a difference.
There is a slight difference.
Nishkam karma means there is no expectation of the result. And nishkam karma is higher level is when you offer your result to God.
Right. So, okay, let me explain another way. The hierarchy is, first you are enjoying the result for yourself.
First two are clear, like vikarma and shakti.
Right. So, that those two are clear. So, vikarma is you are enjoying the result while performing in sinful activities.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then sakam karma is enjoying the result, doing the activities in a good way. And then nishkam karma is, you are not concerned about the result. You give up the result. But you are still doing your activity. But you don't know where the result is going. Then higher than that is karma yoga, when you surrender the result to the Supreme Lord. So at the level of nishkam karma, you have not surrendered the result to Supreme Lord. You are not concerned about the result. Karma yoga is, you are doing your duty, submitting the result of your activity to the Lord. That becomes karma yoga. Okay? And then the difference in karma yoga and bhakti yoga. So in karma yoga, still you are attached to the work. You give the result to the Lord. In bhakti yoga, you are doing the work also for the Lord. Engaging in the activities in service of Lord. That is bhakti yoga. So the activity itself and the result of activity, both are submitted to the Lord. Clear?
Yeah, thanks.
So actually, we can say there are three circles. Imagine three circles. One is the circle where vikarmi fits. Doing bad activity, enjoying the result. Second category is where the karmakandi person fits. Doing the activity in a good way, following the rules and regulation, enjoying the result. And then the third circle is akarma. Either as karma yoga or jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, bhakti yoga. So you are submitting the result to the Lord for the satisfaction of the Lord. But it's not that people are just in these three circles. Sometimes people who are following the karma kanda, there is overlap between vikarma and karma kanda. People may be doing some good activities, but there is performing some bad activities also without following rules and regulation. So same way, the one who is trying to follow the principle of akarma, there may be some ritualistic activities also happening, some karma kanda also happening, right? Doing some activity for the enjoyment of personal enjoyment. So here Krishna is now taking Arjuna to a next level. Give up the result of your activities. So should we stop here or should we do maybe two more verses? Okay, maybe we'll stop here till 38 and we'll continue from 39 onwards in the next session. Anybody has any question or comment so far?
I have one comment.
Yes.
So, I just want to say about this vikarma. So, bad karma means, like whatever we see physically, bad karma, there is bad karma definitely. But there are some bad karmas which generally we are not very much aware of it. For example, jealousy to others. Also comes into bad karma. Hating others also come under bad karma. Like showing good activity in front of and then going behind hating that person comes under bad karma. Just wanted to highlight this point.
Karma doesn't happen only at the bodily level. Activity is not just at the level of body. Activity is at the level of mind also. Okay. And bad karma is... Okay, so another point. Thank you for reminding me. Another point is... bad activity is not just doing something bad. Bad activity is also not doing something good. What you are supposed to do. So that's what Krishna is saying here. You are thinking you will do bad activity by participating in war. Actually, bad activity is not doing your activity. Fighting for the principle of religion. So in that way you will incur sin.
That's more dangerous.
Right. So not doing your duty is also vikarma. Not just doing something wrong, bad activity. And bad activity is done at the level of mind also. We do so much of offenses or sin on a mental level. But in Kali Yuga, there is a special concession. The mental activities does not count. So if the activity stayed at the level of mind, you did not bring it at the level of word or as a physical action, you don't get the reaction. Incur the reaction.
What do you mean?
For Kali Yuga, there is a concession.
Really?
Yes. So let's say you have a bad thought towards somebody. Oh, I feel like I want to kill him. Okay?
You get definitely reaction for that.
In Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga, in Dwapara Yuga, yes, there was a reaction for that. But in Kali Yuga, because the minds are so corrupted, there is a special concession. That's a qualification of Kali Yuga. You don't get the reaction if the activity stays only at the level of mind.
Oh, so
you don't get the reaction.
Manifested.
If you... but there... shown that in right. Form. But there is always a danger. Because
word is kind of mentioned.
I will give you the reference sometime, but but the problem is still, it's not give as a...
This is a fundamental problem then.
Listen, I will clear the fundamental problem. It doesn't mean...
He is saying it is just a thought.
Listen.
Thought is the starting point of everything.
Yes. So the problem is, once we have the thought, once we have the thought, if you keep focusing on that thought, you will end up bringing it into action.
Yeah, that will eventually manifest.
Okay? So it will eventually manifest either as a worldly, as a through word, or through as a physical action.
Right.
So one should not think, oh, I can do on a mental level.
I think the concession is for once in a while. The concession is for those.
So, one should not start thinking, oh, I can commit on a mental level. But once we are so much... focused, if somebody is doing offenses to a devotee, one may think, oh, I'm mentally criticizing somebody, but ultimately it will come in your word. Then in front of somebody, you will criticize somebody.
It may come, may not come.
May come or may not come, but the tendency. Yes, but the tendency is, it becomes manifested when we are focusing on that. If it happened once in a while in certain situation, that's where the concession I'm talking about, right? Once in a while some bad thought came, but you immediately rejected that. No, that thought should not come in my mind. But you intentionally focusing on that thought, then it becomes reaction.
Yeah, that is at least important.
Mm. Any other point?
Like some people with some other...
Yeah, people, if you are intentionally...
Very friendly sometimes, showing the friendliness, like each other when you meet, you show so much of friendliness. But internally...
That's like Muh Mein Ram Ram Bagal Mein Chura. That's what you're talking about.
Right?
In the front, you're very good with somebody. But on the back, you criticize that person.
So that person,
yes,
will get the reaction.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, sometimes we forget about that. Like we think, we are thinking nobody will know anyway. Doesn't matter. But the reaction will be there.
We don't need to show others. We know what we are doing, right? So,
that's why I say our mind is so corrupted.
Yeah. So we know I am doing really bad. So the reaction has to come to me. It's me only. The other person may not know.
No. This is nothing to do with other person. If you think bad thing will happen to you only.
Absolutely.
Nobody is responsible for that.
And first of all, this whole action and reaction business is for our
individual
introspection. It's not to judge somebody. That, oh,
if you try to judge, you are again doing the same.
Right, if you are thinking, oh, he is having this problem, it's his karma, because of him, he has done something,
so
because of that.
So you get the reaction.
It's for us to introspect, if I do something wrong, I have to face the consequences.
Right.
It's for our introspection,
yeah,
not to take a stick of karma and beat others
right
with that. Somebody will say, oh, he is suffering because of his karma. Our duty, what is, so there is a principle of karma and dharma. Yes, he may be having the reaction because of his karma. But what is my dharma right now?
Right.
So my dharma is to help.
Help him, yes.
If he is having some problem, so somebody on a street lying injured or something, and somebody just passes by thinking, oh, it's his karma, let him face. But what is my dharma right now to help the person?
You didn't do so, you get.
Yes, he has got something, maybe something was there, but I have to follow my dharma.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just think about the situation. You got a robbery at your home. You got to police station, file a FIR, and the police officer says, your karma. What can I do? And the thief got caught, gets into the, in front of judge, and thief says, oh, his karma, he was supposed to be stolen his property. Why you want to punish me?
So, in this
so maybe the thief also has a little bit background of Bhagavad Gita,
yeah,
some
so
misinterpreted version.
In this case, thief and police both will get a bad
reaction. Right. So, the duty of police officer is, yes, he may have got whatever consequences, reaction he may have got, but his duty is to perform his duty, to find the thief and punish him. And this person has earned the money in a legitimate way to help him get his resources back. And the thief, yes, maybe he becomes an instrument, but he has to face the consequences of his action. So that's why this karma principle, we have to understand in a very proper systematic way. It's for our personal introspection, how it applies on me, if I do something good or bad, how it affects me, not to judge somebody.
Judging somebody is a bad karma, first of all.
Any other question, comment, point?
I have one question, not related to the class, whatever, but this is related to soul.
Okay.
So, now we have a physical body, we can identify each other, this is you, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we left the body, then where is the identification?
So,
in particular, let's say we went to a heavenly planet,
okay,
some other planet. So, there should be something to be identified as, it's you, it's me, something should be there.
Right. Right.
Or it's not there at all.
So, when we talk about this body itself, the hierarchy is, there is a physical body and there is a gross, so there is a gross body and a subtle body.
Yes.
Okay. So gross body is made up of five material elements, the five senses, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the gross elements. So it's made up of the gross elements, and the higher than gross body is subtle body, which is made up of mind, intelligence, false ego. So there is an ego. Ego is always there, which is, ego means identification. So the false ego means to identify ourselves falsely, to identify myself with this body. That is false ego. That, oh, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm fat, I'm thin. So that is false identification. That is called false ego. But the ego is always there, which means identification, the real identification.
So that ego is unique to
everybody. Right. So that is unique to everybody. Every living entity has their identification. So in spiritual world, so first of all, the confusion between heaven, some people say, oh, somebody went to heaven, or the Swarga, So that is not the spiritual realm. That is also within this material world.
Right.
Okay? Spiritual world means going back to the spiritual sky, to the kingdom of God. So there are two different things, heaven and kingdom of God. They both are not same thing. Heaven is still within material world. Kingdom of God is which is beyond this material world, the spiritual world. So once even somebody goes to Swarga, he still has a physical form, physical body. Okay? Anywhere within this material world, even up to the level of Brahmaloka, there is a physical body, gross body there. But once we go to spiritual world, then we don't have a gross body, there is a spiritual form, spiritual body. You're the real Savarup. Okay, so that identification is still there.
With you.
So every individual has still their own identification.
So ego will not go up at all.
Ego the ego is there. So there is a false ego and real ego.
Yeah, the real ego.
Right. So the real so your false ego gets corrected and you get to your real identification. So right now I'm thinking, oh, I'm the enjoyer. When we give up that false ego and take up the real identification, my real identification is as a part and parcel of the Lord, as a servant of the Lord. So that is real identification. So everybody keeps their individuality, even when we go to the spiritual world. It's not that we give up our oneness, or our, sorry, individuality. That's why the whole conception of Mayavad, one thinks, one merges with the Supreme, gives up his individuality. That does not happen. Text 12, second chapter text 12, Krishna says, there was never a time when you, I, or all these kings did not exist or will not exist. So everybody continue to exist even after getting liberation, even after going to the spiritual world. Okay, thank you for your question. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So we'll do Damodar Aarti. This is kind of as a, we'll consider as an official